May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us wish to be forgiven. Nobody wants that his counterpart may have grief against him or condemn him for his faults committed. The readings of today's Mass teach us, on the one hand, about the infinite mercy of God, his willingness to forgive even the gravest sins, and on the other hand, which must be our dispositions in order to obtain it. In the first reading, we have heard about what can be called the original sin of the people of Israel. The people had been miraculously saved from the slavery in Egypt. God had guided them during the journey through the desert by means of his servant Moses. He had demonstrated his almightiness and his caring love for the Israelites, conducting them through the middle of the Red Sea, drowning all its enemies in it. But what does the people do instead of thanking God for all his benefits? The Israelites had fabricated a golden calf, an idol, that they were worshipping instead of the true God. This teaches us two important lessons. The first of one is that sin is, first, an act of ingratitude. As we have just seen, God had done marvelous things for his chosen people, freeing it from its oppressors. But instead of thanking him, they give cult to an idol. It is our duty as creatures, and even more as Christians, to be thankful to God. He was not in need of us, but created us because of pure goodness. He gave us innumerable good things, material and immaterial ones, among which his grace, his friendship, is the biggest one. Therefore, we are obliged to thank God constantly for everything he has done and still does for us. But too often we forget about this. We think that all the good things we enjoy in our life would be natural, would be due to us, and forget the fact that it is not automatic to live in a country where there is no war, where we don't have to hunger, and that our health and well-being could be gone through a misfortune from one moment to another. Everything we have received through the grace of God, and everything we have obtained through our efforts, we wouldn't have reached if he would not have sustained us with his grace. The second lesson we can draw from it is the fact that if we turn ourselves away from God, the only alternative is to turn ourselves towards an idol, or, in other words, towards nothing. The Israelites fabricated the statue of an animal. We, because of our pride, tend to make an idol of ourselves, considering us the center of the universe, investing innumerable efforts in our well-being, in our physical beauty, in our career, and so on. We tend to make an idol of money, of sex, of success, and many other things. These are all things confined to this world, which we have to leave behind us when we depart from this life. And if we will have attached our heart only to these things, when we will have to present ourselves one day in front of God, we will have nothing with us. The things we make idols of are temporary things, of which we are asked to make a good use, but not as ends in themselves. Therefore, in the very end, the question is, God or nothing? If we don't have God, we have nothing, because even if we make us up some idols, we will have to leave them sooner or later, and then we will stand in front of God's judgment with empty hands. If instead we possess God, we have everything, because he will, as a good father, provide us everything we need. In the reading, we see Moses interceding to God for the people and obtaining from him the withdrawal of the just punishment it would have merited for this act of idolatry. This fact teaches us, firstly, that every good we need for our spiritual and material life can be obtained through fervent and perseverant prayer. Secondly, it teaches us the need of expiation and reparation. Sin is an offense against God, and this offense must be repaired. As Moses pleaded for the people of Israel, we as well must plead God and ask him forgiveness for the sins of our own and these of others. Moses is also a figure of Christ, who would have taken away sin and removed the threat of its just punishment, not only from the people of Israel, but from the whole humanity. He has pleaded for us on the cross, obtaining us salvation and healing. In the Gospel, we have heard how the Pharisees were scandalized because Jesus welcomed the sinners and ate with them in order to bring them to conversion and forgiveness. This fact reminds us that we Christians must be in the world, but not from the world, as Jesus came into the world to save the fallen mankind, but he himself didn't assume worldly or mundane behavior. In the same way, we are called to approach worldly people who may also live in sinful conditions. But this doesn't mean that we can tolerate or worse, approve what they are doing. We are called to seek and find the lost sheep and bring it back to a safe place, but without losing ourselves on the way. In several parables in the Gospel, our Lord explains us then both what is the attitude of God towards the sinner who searches him as the shepherd his sheep, or the woman in the parable her money, and what needs to be the attitude of the sinner towards God if he wants to be forgiven. In the parable of the prodigal son, we heard how after having himself reduced to a pitiful condition, full of confidence, he returns to his father, humbly asking forgiveness for his sins, recognizing that due to his sins, he wouldn't be any more worthy to be called his father's son. We should make our own the sentence which St. Paul says in the second reading. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I myself am the greatest of them. And if mercy has been shown to me, it is because Jesus Christ meant to make me the greatest evidence of his inexhaustible patience. With the help of Our Lady, the Divine Shepherd and Refuge of sinners, we want to learn to humbly recognize our sins and our need to be forgiven by God, the Merciful Father. Let us ask the grace to obtain true contrition, a firm proposal to not sin again, and to make a good and fruitful confession. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed, now and forever.